Welcome to my podcast on photography. My name is Ewan Bell. I'm an editorial and travel photographer based in Melbourne, Australia. I've been working for myself for over 25 years now, and I make this podcast to explore ideas and my thoughts that don't fit on my blog or on the YouTube channel. Today we have a long and generous conversation with a gentleman named Scotty, and you'll get to find out more about his story and his photography as we wander the streets of Melbourne with cameras in hand having a conversation. So this podcast is a little bit longer than my usual efforts, and we have a special guest as well. I met Scotty earlier today. I noticed him at Queen Victoria Market taking photographs of seagulls, strategically taking photographs of seagulls. He was very intentional. He was very clever with what he was doing. And I went over to have a chat, and I found him engaging, and I think you'll find his conversation engaging as well. Let's get to know Scotty a little bit, and let's have a jolly good in-depth dive into street photography.
My name's Scotty Christian Kelleher. I operate under the title Cactus Scott on Instagram. I'm a country boy. I live halfway between here, Melbourne, and Sydney. Yeah, I just like taking photos.
Before, we were talking about what is street photography and what does it mean to different people. You made the point that it can be anything that you want. But when you say street photography, what do you mean?
More classify myself as a documentary photographer.
Okay.
So to me, street photography doesn't necessarily have to be on the street. Like, generally, if there are people in it, and that's another thing, I don't think street photography has to have a human element in it. Well, maybe a human element, but not a human. A human element, but not, it doesn't necessarily have to have a person in the photo. You'll get a lot of people saying, no, that's wrong. It has to have a person in it, and it has to be candid, and it has to be this, and it has to be that, and blah, 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 whatever. I'm sure you have your rules. I've got my rules for my stuff that I'm making. For example, I like black and white. Unless the color means something, I'll process it in black and white. What I'm trying to do is do something unrepeatable. So I'm looking for things like backdrops that aren't going to be there next week.
Okay. Not just seasonal, not there next week, but may never exist
again.
I'm
trying to get that shot that is going to be hard to get, and it's going to be hard to emulate. Now, I'm not a gatekeeper at all. I will tell people how I did it. I'll show them. I'll tell them what lens I use, what shot. Like, it's not about gatekeeping. It's about just doing that once only shot.
Something that is unique.
Yes, unique, authentic, yeah, absolutely.
You just were saying about how you could have a couple of projects on the go, quite a few, and that in that moment you might think of another one. Would you say you are more reacting to your environment, or are you planning your projects so that you do go out and pick a particular spot to get a shot?
There's definitely intention with what I'm looking for. It's more chasing the good light now than a subject. The light's more important than the subject. So there's that intention, and there's also the projects that I've got in here, like they're loosely in my head. I'm thinking, yeah, that'll fit good with that.
When I met you, I jokingly commented, because you were shooting seagulls, strategically shooting seagulls. You had tempted them with some hot chips. I jokingly said, did you get their permission to take their photo? You understood exactly what I was talking about there. Where do you stand on street photography and permission?
Legally, it's not required. If you're in a public place, you're open slather, basically. But ethically, there's a line. Like, for example, I won't shoot people who are, doing it tough.
You have to understand, I don't know anything about street photography. I'm a travel photographer. I want permission from the people, A, just because it's nice to do that. You just want them to know what you're doing. You're not sneaking shots or stuff. And B, there's an ethical element there.
There's a code there, I know. Sometimes to get the shot though, you've got to be a little bit sneaky on the street. Like, one good tactic is, boom, got it, and they didn't take a photo of me, taking photos of the building.
You're trying to make it look like you're shooting something other than the subject.
And you'll walk through them, or just don't make eye contact, but then I can just really work out the opposite. I'm a country boy, so I look everyone in the eyes, and I'll talk to everyone. And I think the weirdos can smell the gum leaves, because I get some freaks just come up to me, and I'm quite happy to talk to them. There's other times where if I lock eyes with someone, I'll say, hey, you look great. Like, I love your outfit, man. Or like, can I get a photo of you? Like, can you just back up a little bit into the light and walk towards me? And then it becomes street portraiture.
Right, it's something different now, isn't it? Because you have permission. Yeah. It's no longer street photography.
Yeah, see, there's a fine line, I think. Some people will call it street portraiture. If the subject even looks into the camera, did that just become a portrait? But no, because it was still candid. I know some street photographers that go, no, we don't want them looking into the camera. I'm like, no, that don't bother me. Sometimes that can be good.
So this idea of you are talking to them and you're having a conversation, it's now street portraiture.
Yeah.
That's essentially my guide to travel photography. There's a connection there.
Yes.
And the connection is what makes the photo better. For my style of photography, communicating with your subject and that connection just elevates your work so much. And if you don't have that, it really shows.
And then it's about the story too, right?
I see it as you're getting better photography by getting permission, but now that's no longer street photography. Something about that.
Yeah.
If the subject is involved in the creation.
Yeah, I think once the permission is granted, it becomes a street portrait. That's how I think about it anyway. So we were talking about Tim from Word on the Street Photography. It's a YouTube channel. I await his next one, because what he does is he goes through all the street photography competitions or awards, and then he gives his opinion on it. And he is absolutely brutal. He does not hold back. I mean, he's like, a photo of a foot? Come on. He's like, how can that be street photography? It's quite good to watch, because he's very honest, like I said, a little brutal. I don't always agree with his opinion, but it is fun to watch. Some of these photos that are getting picked, there's a lot of street portraiture. He and I both agree on that. If the subject's clearly negotiated the shot, it's not what we classify as a street photo.
That's one of your boundaries. That's where you draw the line.
Even Bruce Gilden, who's a very famous street photographer, set up shots. I didn't know that, but I was reading there's a famous shot of the Yakuza in Japan where he's lighting the Yakuza boss's cigar. And that's a very famous street photo. Now, I recently found out that scene happened and he missed it. Through his translator, he got them to reenact it. So he could stick a flash in their face and get the shot.
And that changes it for you, right?
I was disappointed, man. I was disappointed in him. I'm like, come on.
That's a different shot now.
I've recently thought about some of my photos where it is candid and it is definitely street and not set up. But then I'm like, how's anybody to know that wasn't my friend? And I got them to put that funny mask on and walk past that glass window. Like, how's anybody to know that? After learning about Bruce Gilden, I'm like, how would anybody know about any of these photographers who are famous street photographers? I was introduced to black and white film photography in 1995 whilst studying fine arts. So it was only an elective. But the one thing I do remember about that was our lecturer said, no photo is real.
Ooh, interesting.
I've always hung on to that one.
Oh, I like that expression. I can think of a few ways that comes into play. What does that mean to you?
Don't believe everything you see, even if it's a photograph.
My version of that would be to say, there is no such thing as documentary, it's always art.
Yeah, I can take that on board.
Because it's always down to the expression of the photographer, and you get to interpret it. And every stage of interpretation, from which photo you decide to print, how you print it, which lens you picked on the day, whether you pointed north or south, all these things can change what that photo represents.
I was going in a lot of awards because I don't really market myself. I'm not making a lot of money out of photography. Anything I do make commercial-wise, like shooting events or the occasional wedding or whatever, goes straight back into my photography, either buying a new lens or traveling down here for 4 days. My idea was to get some awards, sort of get myself out there that way.
And I think you nailed it on the head, where the person who wins it gets a camera, that's great for him. But actually, there could have been hundreds of just as good photos. And it's just that they only have one prize, not 100. One thing I can be sure of with any competition, a lot of good photos won't win. I have a fundamental problem with just putting a number on a photo, a score. Yeah. I just have such a problem of reducing a photo to a single number.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's the other thing I struggle with. The idea of looking at one person's photo and me telling someone how to make that photo better.
Yeah.
To me, that's putting the cart before the horse. Because the answer to the photo is not in the photo. The answer is outside of it. And that one photo couldn't possibly represent everything that person was trying to do. Just as you can't decide which frickin' category to submit to, there's a lot of variables here.
Do you ever look back though on a photo, like a reasonably good photo that you've made, and then later on go, damn, if I just stood 1 foot to the right.
Any photo I can think of something that I might have done different doesn't necessarily mean it's better.
Yeah.
But more importantly, it's one photo out of a million that I've hit the shutter on. Does that photo represent where I'm headed? So that's why asking for feedback on a single photo, I have a real problem with. That's not the space I want to be in.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have a curated set, and this is why I'm all about having a collection, having a series, doing a photo essay, doing an ebook, curating a zine. It's all about you want to have a set of photos. Now I've got something to talk about. Because in a curated set, that image that maybe wasn't a great photo on its own, but it's telling a part of a story, it's nailing a certain part of the story, that photo is now valuable because it's telling you part of the bigger story. And that's what I really love, that suddenly all these images that weren't of any value before, now they are.
Sometimes you gotta leave that really, really favorite one out, or the one you love, because it doesn't
belong in that story.
Yeah, it doesn't fit it.
Belongs somewhere else, but not there.
That was a tough thing for me, because I'm like, I want to put that photo in there and build the story, but nah, it's just learning that, still learning that.
You know, the other problem that occurs to me, judging a single photo, that it suggests that one photo can be perfect. There's this underlying assumption that we're going to score it, we're going to give it a number out of 10. Here's what would have made that photo perfect. And I don't see photography as an exercise in making something perfect. I see it as an exercise in expressing an opinion, expressing how you see the world. So this whole idea of, oh, but I want a perfect photo. I do not want a perfect photo. Yeah. I want to tell you a story. Sometimes I can do that pretty good in one photo. Sometimes I need 10.
Yeah.
And it's not about making something perfect. It is art, and art is expression. Thank you.
pretty well known in the street photography community. You've either got hunting or fishing. So the hunter, he'll chase his subjects around. He's moving, he likes to move around, he likes to weave in and out of the crowd. He's shooting on the move. He won't camp out like I did today. Like I thought, I'm gonna camp out here a bit, see what I can get, and work the scene a little bit. I used to be that guy, just walk past, poop, 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 keep walking. Today I was like, now we're gonna work this scene a little bit. See, that street photography, I was making something happen with those chips. I was kind of directing the scene, wasn't I?
And that's what I mean when I say there's no such thing as documentary. Because on some level, you're making decisions.
Oh yeah.
Whether it's you're bringing chips or whether which street you walk down, you are making decisions. All these things affect the final outcome.
That's what they refer to as fishing. So you're just gonna camp out in one spot. You might like the light, you might like the backdrop. You just need something to happen now. You need a subject to enter the scene and make the shot.
And that's what I was doing today too, with the guitarist. I'd asked him right at the start, I said, do you mind if I take a bunch of photos of you? Now, he probably didn't realise he was signing up for an hour worth of photography. He probably thought it was going to be two shots and I'd be gone. But he knew what I was doing. I wasn't a complete surprise to him.
So you've got pretty good ninja skills, because I didn't notice you. The guitarist must have seen me across the street and thought, oh, another one.
Once I realised the light was working for me there, there's no point me moving on. Like, I found a spot where I have good light, I've got a willing subject. I'll just keep going and keep going, and there's no need for me to move on. I don't need to photograph all of Melbourne.
See, I'll usually last for about half an hour. I'm like, how long can this cloak of invisibility last until it wears out, until I become a pest?
Do you think our society is less friendly towards the camera now than it used to be?
Yeah, there's a lot more people doing it, and I think because they think you're going to use it, somehow exploit them or put them on social media or something. Like, the only two people who've gone off at me are both been buskers. One was performing illegally in Pitt Street Mall. This one guy, I think he thought I was being sneaky. I wanted a long exposure. He was one of those mime. I thought, if I get a long exposure, everyone will be moving. So because I didn't have a tripod, I set it on the timer and sat it next to me. He must have thought, oh, this guy's been sneaky, you know. So then I went over to give him $5 and he said, I don't want your money. And he said, I don't like what you're doing. And I was like, okay then. And another guy was just a busker in here who I think was a bit mentally unstable and maybe on something, but he just went off at me. I was like, cool.
How brave do you think you are when you're on the streets?
That guy, I went and sat next to him and won him over because he's obviously very distressed that I was taking his photo. And he was like, enough, enough. And I was like, so I went and sat next to him. This is a little counseling session. He was like, sorry, man. He's like, I don't know. It's the big lens. He said, it just triggered me.
It's amazing the power of having a conversation, isn't it? People get upset when they don't understand. And you just have to talk to people.
It's having an awareness too of your surroundings. There'd be some people that I wouldn't approach because I'd sense the danger. I'm not silly. You gotta be able to read a situation, I think. Like I said to you when I met you, I said there's no photos worth giving someone a hard time or a bad day over. Like, I've got no problem deleting something if that's gonna make them feel better. The other thing I've been really exploring lately is to have my subjects obscured, to have their identity unknown, whether it be in silhouette or somehow obscured. Then there's no need for a model release or anything along those lines.
I like the idea of obscuring your subject. I like the idea of a bit of mystery in photos anyway. So leaning into that, this seems like a good direction.
I don't want everything just to be there. That's why I shoot everything at f2, because I want as much out of focus as possible. I want a bit of mystery.
It is challenging. It's actually difficult to not see someone's face in a lot of the street scenes. That's a high bar to set. That's really challenging. The flip side is, what really makes a strong image to me is the connection and any element of intimacy that comes out of that connection. I'd rather be shooting with a 20mm wide angle than 135. Like, I want to be in the scene. I want to be next to my subject. I want that permission to be in that space.
I just quickly looked you up on YouTube and I've actually watched some of yours.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. No one watches my stuff.
You know, I watched something on editing. Yeah, there was a couple that I watched and I'm like, oh, I've watched this guy.
How about that? Thanks for joining me today. I really love when my listeners reach out and drop me an email or say hello. Please let me know if you're out there somewhere. I have a monthly zine that you can enjoy on my website. There's no tracking, there's no sign up. You just click on the PDF and enjoy it. Plus my YouTube channel as well. And of course, I run a few workshops and tours in the Himalayas, the Arctic and Australia each year. You can find all these things on my website at ewanbell.com. Have a great day.